listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I love Superman. How many of you guys like Superman when you were a kid or as an adult? Some of y'all are like, kid? Oh, okay. I still like Superman. I remember as a little kid, I was born at the very end of the 70s. I was born in 79. So I grew up in the 80s, and I'm going to just tell you, I know, like, folks from the 60s and 50s, I know you guys are very, very tough people. I get it. My dad is a child of the 50s, very tough guy. But look, in the 80s, I think the 80s was like the last decade of toughness. Because in the 90s, when they started having, like, car seats, and, you know, they started doing stuff that, I mean, really, if you grew up in the 90s and beyond, you got a little bit of sissy in you, and it's okay. It's okay. We're going to work that out here. But in the 80s, I remember growing up in the 80s, and I had Superman pajamas. Come on. Anybody have Superman pajamas? Yeah. And they were the old saggy pajamas. I didn't fill them out quite like Superman does. But we used to have the cape. Now, some of you folks from the 90s and 2000s, you had the cape too. But yours had Velcro. Not mine, Jack. Mine's straight up tied.
Yeah.
And so you tied that choking hazard around your neck, and you went to bed. And you just, I mean, it just is what it is. You choked to death in your sleep. You were tough, right? You survived. Then you're better for it. So I love Superman. I love superheroes. And I'm going to tell you something. Today, on Father's Day, that's going to be our focus. We're going to be talking about superheroes. We're going to be talking about Superman. And I believe, just as I think God believes, that he looks at you and sees a superhero. I believe when God looks at every man in this room, he sees a superhero. Now, you're looking at yourself thinking, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I am. I'm not a superhero. But I promise you, God sees something special in each and every one of you. Before we jump into that, though, I want to give you, I found this article and I really liked it. And it had 10 things that real men are supposed to be. Now, I took those 10 things. I chopped it down to just 5 things. So I don't want to waste a lot of time with this. But I just thought it was interesting and kind of funny. But to be a real man, this article is written by somebody who is supposedly in the mafia. Okay, so they're not really. It's just how the article's written. It says a real man, number one, is strong. Real men don't cry, they don't complain, and they never get sick. A real man never goes to the doctor for a little sneeze. It says a real man is tough and the backbone of his family, and he has no time for weakness. That's a real man. Any real men in here today? I know some of you guys, y'all like, man, I ain't raising my hand. My wife will slap me in the face. You ain't no real man. Raise your hand. There you go. A real man knows the importance of family. You got to keep your family tight, keep your family secure. You got to keep your family close. Real men don't gossip. They keep their mouth shut. A real man shelters information and rations his words. Says a real man never talks about things he doesn't know or about people he's never met. For a real man, his word is his bond. If he can't keep a promise, he doesn't make one. And then last but not least says, a real man is a fighter. He had to fight to get where he is. Nothing is handed to him. Every great leader has been on the wrong end of a beatdown, whether with words, fists, or circumstances, but they get back up every time.
That's right.
Those are some qualities of a real man. That may be where your message ends today. If it is, that's okay. You can go on and take your nap now. All right. Let me add a 6th one. Real men don't sleep in church.
Amen.
We were talking about that earlier today, about how whenever we're preaching, a lot of times we'll see you fall asleep in church. We get it. I mean, I understand. It's kind of warm in here right now. I'm getting a little bit tired myself. But we know some of you stay up real late on Saturday nights and you fall asleep during our messages. And so we talk about you all the time. I figure if you can fall asleep, then I can talk about you, right?
That's right.
Just don't do this. If you know you slept during the message, know that I've seen you sleep. Don't come up to me after church and be like, man, that was a great message today. You did a great job. I know you were asleep. So I know you're lying, and you're going to have to repent. All right, so let's not do that. Let's not fake it today. Let's just be for real. All right, let's get into the message this morning. I believe God sees a superhero in all of us. I believe we think we're superheroes at the end of the day. Most men have a huge ego. We may hide it. We may conceal it. But for the most part, we have a big ego. We are the kind of people that will watch a superhero movie And on the way home from the superhero movie, if our wife isn't in the car, we will be pretending to be that superhero. Men will get in the car. Will knows what I'm talking about. Men will get in the car, they'll turn on music, and that music will be the theme music to their life. They're driving the car. I can see Paul Perry right now. He will probably go watch the Fast and the Furious 27, whatever it is that's out right now, and he'll go watch it, and on his way home, if Vicky's not in the car with him, he's going to be driving and doing this. He doesn't even have a gear shifter. He's just doing his hand like this. Right? Because that's how men are. When I was a little kid, I would watch Rocky, and immediately I'd go put on some shorts, take off my shirt, and get some old boxing gloves that we had in the house, and I'd run around the house. I'd be boxing everything. I'd watch Superman movie. It could be in the middle of the afternoon. I'd just watch Christopher Reeves, and I would go put on my Superman pajamas in the middle of the daytime and start jumping off of beds. That's how men are. We think we're superheroes, even though we may not be superheroes. We think we are. And I'm telling you, God looks at you today, and he looks past your weaknesses. He looks past your issues, and he sees a superhero down inside of you. And it's my goal today to help you bring that true superhero to the surface. Now, I can't teach you how to fly. I can teach you how to fall. Yep. This past week, I was helping Jesse, my brother-in-law, paint his house and do some work around the house. I think we messed up more stuff than we fixed. But I was helping him, and we got this ladder. He's got this big, tall foyer in his house. So we got this ladder. He got a 17-foot ladder. And I climbed up to the top of that 17-foot ladder, and it's one of those that it's like the special ladders, you know, that can like fold out and extend. It could be an A-frame or an extension. It does all that kind of stuff. What I didn't realize is when you get towards the top of that ladder and you get past that bendy part, the joint, that thing gets real shaky like a trampoline. So I'm up at the top of that ladder, and I said, man, I don't know if I can do this. And I get up there, and I start reaching up. It was too short. We had to go back and buy like a 22-foot ladder. I got to the top of that thing, and it's like, I mean, I'm up there shaking. I'm sweating. You know, it's not even hot in the house. I'm sweating already. And then to reach out and get the paint on the ceiling where I needed to, I had to reach out and grab like some molding thing and lean out over, and I'm painting. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw my life flash before my eyes, and it was not pretty. I could just see myself as a paint splatter down on his floor. The point is, I can teach you how to fall. I can't teach you how to fly. I can't teach you how to shoot heat vision out of your eyes. I can't teach you how to look through walls. But one of the things that we can learn together today is we can learn how to draw that inner greatness, that inner superhero out. What God sees in us, we can draw that to the surface today. And so, ladies, it's going to be about men today. But that's okay, because anytime you preach a word, you can get something out of it. As a matter of fact, some of you ladies, especially you girls that are dating, when I preach about men today, you need to be taking notes, saying, this is the kind of man I need right here. And then you look for that man. Fellas, I'm not going to preach about fathers today, because a lot of times we do Father's Day messages, and then all the guys that are not fathers sit back and just think it, just, you know, pass it right over their head. Isn't that right, Judah? As far as you know, you're not a father yet. So we just pass that stuff right back over our heads. But I'm going to tell you today, it's about every man. Today's message is called Man of Steel. So if you're taking notes, if you're tweeting or Facebooking and you need a hashtag today, it's Man of Steel. And so God sees greatness in everybody. I want you to look back at a couple of people in the Bible, and I want you to notice something. There was a man named Gideon one time in the Bible. Now, Gideon is scared. He's worried. He's a coward. And God finds Gideon hiding in a hole, afraid of the enemy. But God looks at Gideon, and he sees victory. He looks at Gideon, and he sees a mighty man. And he begins to draw that out of Gideon by speaking to the mighty man inside of him. God uses Gideon to go out and win a war. There was a man named Abraham in the Bible. Abraham's 100 years old. His wife is 90 years old. What does God see in Abraham? Nations. Now, how can God look at a man that's 100 years old and a woman that's 90 years old and see nations? I don't know how he can do it, but God did it. He looked down past the weakness, past the inability. He looked past all the things, the physical roadblocks that Abraham and Sarah had. And he looked past all that stuff and he said, I see nations in you. I see lots and lots of children. God can look past all of your weaknesses. There's some of you in here today, and you're saying, if I just could be like that guy, We see successful people and we think, if I could just be like that guy, if I had that talent or that ability or that head of hair, you know, we would look at that and think, I could be that. And God looks past all those weaknesses and says, no. I see something great inside of you. I see a superhero. God looked at a guy named Peter. Now, Peter had a problem. His problem was his mouth, a lot like me. He said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. He did a lot of things he shouldn't have done. But God looked past all that and said, I see a church. And he looks at Peter one time. Now, listen, he's had to tell Peter stuff like, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, when you're talking to Jesus and he calls you Satan, that's pretty bad. But Jesus said, he says that to Peter, but then looks past that and says, on this rock, maybe he said rock head, I'm not sure. On this rock, Peter, I will build my church. Jesus looks past all the issues that Peter has, and he sees greatness. He sees a superhero. There's a guy named Paul, maybe the worst of all of them. Paul's going around killing Christians. But Jesus looks through Paul. He looks past the murder. He looks past the hate, and he sees a great evangelist. He sees a missionary, and he sees countries and souls being saved all over the world. I'm telling you today, no matter what your issue is, God can see past it. God can see a superhero inside of you. God can see that. The reason that God can see that is simple. Because when God looks at you, he can see himself in you. When God looks at you, he can see himself inside of you. We got a verse I want to look at real quick. It's 1 John 4:4. And the Bible says this in 1 John 4:4. It says, greater is he that is in me, or he that is in you, than he that is in the world. In other words, whenever you're facing your battles and God's seeing the trials and the temptations and the issues that you're going through, and you're thinking, man, I'm so weak, I can't do this, I can't be that guy, I can't be super, God looks past that and he sees himself inside of you. And when he sees himself inside of you, that's where the greatness comes from. So God sees himself inside of each and every one of us. There's another verse in Colossians 1:27 says that it's the Christ in you. Christ in you. And so that's what God's seeing. Every time he looks at you, he sees himself. And he realizes this guy, this man is special. This person is super. This person is great because of what's inside of you. And that's him. Let me also make a quick note here, a little sidebar, that there's a difference between greatness and famous. Yep. See, I think a lot of times we want to be famous. As men, I don't know any man that ever grew up saying, you know, if I could just work as a janitor my whole life and nobody know who I am, and if I could just go in and not even be a good janitor, but be a really bad janitor and get fired a lot. If I could do that, that's perfect. No man ever says that. Even men that want to be janitors say, I want to be the best janitor in the world. I want to be known for my cleaning abilities. I want people world around to know that I've got the cleanest toilets in the building. Right? That's what men, we want to be famous. There's a part of us, I'm not going to lie to you, there's a part of me in church that says, I want this church to grow. I want it to be a big deal. Right? Every man does that. In your business, in your family, in whatever it is that you do, you want to be great. Yeah. But a lot of times we want to be famous. And see, there's a difference. Fame is something people know you for, and it is not eternal, it's temporary. You think about it. Think about all the famous people that are jacked up right now, and we forget about them. There was this girl one time, her name was Amanda Bynes. And Amanda was a Disney star. She was one of the little Disney princesses, and she could sing and dance and act and do all the great stuff. And then she made him a couple of movies, got her some money, and then she started doing like crack cocaine or something. I don't know what Amanda's doing nowadays, but she has lost her brains. And all of a sudden, it's like you see her on the news going to prison or in court, and you think, oh yeah, I remember that girl. What happened? She was famous for a minute, but fame doesn't last, right? Greatness lasts. When you think about somebody that's great, I would talk to you right now and be able to tell you, hey, could you name for me, and I'm a sports fan, I love sports, and even this might end up being difficult, but could you name for me the last 10 Heisman Trophy winners? could you name for me the last 10, just off the top of your head, Jenny would know it, could you name for me the last 10 teams that won Super Bowls or the last 10 MVPs of Major League Baseball? Could you name for me the top 10 grossing actors? I mean, when you think about it, sure, if we started Googling it up, I'm sure you guys will come to me after service and you'll start naming all those things off. But to be totally honest, I don't think anybody in the room right now off the top of their head could just answer all of those questions. It would be difficult. Why? Because those people are famous, but they're not great. Now think back. Think back to that teacher. I bet anybody in the room could name me a couple of teachers, probably four or five teachers right off the top of your head that made an impact in your life. You could look back in your life. You could name me three or four pastors in your life that have made an impact. You can look back and find five or six, seven adults in your life that have made an impact in your life. Why? Because that's all about greatness. Greatness is about the impact that you make, not about being well known. So we need to understand that going into the message today. How do we draw out our inner superhero? Well, we need to look at Superman. I want to look at five quick things that Superman has that all men need to understand today. And if we as men can get these five things in our life, then I promise you we're going to be men of steel. We will be better than we ever have been. So the first thing you need to know today, just like Superman, you are not of this world. In the story of Superman, he is an alien that is sent to Earth because his planet is being destroyed, so his parents send him to Earth. He may look like everybody else. He may talk like everybody else, which I find was kind of interesting that they spoke English on Krypton. That's, man, how random is that, right? So Superman gets to Earth. He looks like a human. He smells like a human. He talks like a human. But he's not human. He's not human. He is not of this world. The Bible says the same thing about you and me. Jesus speaking, if you would, look in John chapter 17 for just a second. I want to read this because it's very telling about how we are supposed to act. John 17, this is Jesus praying. And if you look at verses 15 and 16, this is what Jesus says. Let me go up to verse 14. It says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Jesus, speaking about you and me, says, don't take them out of the world, leave them in the world, but they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. We are like Christ, men, and we cannot continue to be like the world. We can be in the world, but we're not of this world. In other words, we may look like everybody else. We may sound like everybody else. We may smell like most everybody else. But we are not supposed to be just like everybody else. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul tells us, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? In other words, you can be here and not be of here. What does that mean? It means I can't look at what the world's standard of manhood is and start setting up my life like that. See, the world's standard of manhood changes all the time. There was a time to be a man, you had to be a mechanic, and you had to be able to, you know, fix your own car, build your own house, cook all your own steaks, right? And nowadays, like, a man has to wear makeup and, you know, has to have his fingernails done. And, you know, it's just like, whoa, what happened? You know, what happened to the man in 1950 and the man in 2013? They are two totally different men. But here's what happens. The world's standard of manhood just changes all the time. It's weird. I think they're making us more like women and making women more like men. And they want equality in the sense of they want us to be the same. I don't mind being equal with a woman as far as her having the same, she can have the same job as me and have all, I'm about to get in trouble if I don't watch my mouth, and her having the same rights as I have, but I don't want to be just like a woman. Come on. And I certainly don't want my woman to be just like a man.
Amen. That's right.
Now, my wife can play a mean shortstop in some softball, much better player than I am. But I would never say that to her. Right now. The point is, we've changed. This world has changed the thought of what a man is supposed to be like. Yep. We're supposed to be soft. We're supposed to be sweet. I tell my sons, I don't like it when my wife says to Colt, you need to be sweet. I'm like, no, be tough, you know, be mean. I like that about him.
That's right.
The other day, Colt, we weren't there. He was at the Auburn church with his grandparents, and Emma was staying with the other set of grandparents. Anyways, they saw each other at church last Sunday, and Emma came running up and said, give me a hug and a kiss or whatever, and Colt just walked up to her and just went, bam, right in the face and punched her in the face. Perry found out about it. She was so upset. She said, I can't believe he did that. And I said, man, I can't believe he hit her. That's great. Like, the fact that he knows how to deliver a punch right in the face. I mean, it's bad. I don't want him hitting a girl or hitting a sister. He needs to kiss her and hug her, whatever he's got to do. But I'm pretty impressed that the kid knows how to deliver a punch. You know, that's good. Again, stuff I probably shouldn't say out loud. Here's the thing. We've got to understand. We, as men, we have to be different. Superman would never be Superman if he was always Clark Kent.
That's good. That's good.
If he always tried to conform to what everybody else thought about him, he would never have been special. He would have had all the power in the world and would have never used it for anything if he kept his glasses on. At some point, we have to take the glasses off. At some point, we have to put Clark Kent aside and we have to become Superman. So men, you know, you can look at what the world wants you to do all day. You can try and live up to their standard all day. But at some point, if you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to be a real man, you're going to have to stand up and be Superman. You've got to lay down all the stuff that the world wants you to do and go after what God wants you to do. And that brings us to our second thing that Superman had that we need is a purpose to fulfill. Superman always has a purpose to fulfill. And that purpose is always to not go out and get the most money in the world. He's not trying to try and, you know, build himself an empire. Superman has this bigger purpose, this bigger humanity thing that he's searching for. Jeremiah 29:11, we quote it a lot. The Bible says that God's got a plan and a destiny for you. He's got plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's got a bigger plan for you than you have. One of the things this world is going to tell you is that a man is going to be defined by making money and having influence. Let me tell you something. Making money and influence, those are just tools. They're not bad. It's good to have money. It's good to have influence. But those things don't define you as a man. Your purpose defines you, not the things that you have. And we get that mixed up sometimes. We think the more stuff I've got, the better man I am. The higher up the ladder I climb, the better man I am. Those things don't define you any more than a hammer defines a carpenter. We've got to understand that God has a bigger purpose for us. And seeking out all the money in the world isn't going to help us achieve that purpose. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus speaking, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. We quote that a lot. What we don't always look at are the verses that lead up to that. It's called reading in context. If you read in context, you'll find that one of the things Jesus is talking about, if you go all the way back to verse 24, he's talking about money. He's talking about clothes. He's talking about all this stuff that you have. And he's telling people, he said, don't be worried about this stuff. Don't spend your whole life trying to go out and have the best clothes and have the best house and get all the right food and get all the right money. He's telling people, stop worrying about all that stuff. Worry about the God-given purpose that I've put in you, and all that other stuff will come on its own. And I think sometimes we get that so mixed up. I know I do. There's plenty of times I allow worry about things to get inside of me, and it keeps me from pursuing what I need to be pursuing all along. We're not of this world, folks. We have a bigger purpose. Men, you need to seek that purpose out. Find out what it is God has for you. Let me tell you something. It always starts with souls being saved. Always starts with souls being saved. And then you can build on that. For some of you, winning souls is not about getting up and preaching. There's some of you can never do the things that I do. But there's plenty of things I will never be able to do that you can do. Maybe for you, your purpose is in being a doctor or a lawyer or being a mechanic. But look, it's not just doing that. It's how can I win souls? How can I accomplish the kingdom of God where he puts me? Men, we need to realize that today. We need to stop looking at our jobs as a means to get money, and we need to start looking at our jobs as a means to win souls. Look at where God has placed you for the purpose God has placed you there, not for what the world says you should be there for. I went and met with a guy one time down in Mobile when we were getting ready to launch our campus down there, and I went and met with this guy, very, very wealthy guy, very wealthy guy. And I sat down and I talked to him, and he wanted to talk to us because he wanted to kind of give some support to our Mobile campus and help them out. And as we talked, one of the things that I realized is this guy has his own business. He started this huge construction company that goes all over the Southeast, as far as I know, and they do commercial building stuff. So he goes all over the place, has this huge business, multiple buildings, lots of employees. It started because he built a garage one time. He built a garage for somebody, and they liked it, told a friend, so he went and built another garage. Next thing you know, he's got this garage building business. Next thing you know, he's building houses, and then he's building buildings, and he's got this huge little, I say huge, and then I'm going to say little, this little empire of construction down in South Alabama. But here's a great thing about this guy. He told us in that meeting, he said, look, God has blessed me with all of this, so that I can bless other people. That man, whenever we were getting started, some of the stuff that Pastor Marcus was having to buy to set up that church, it cost us to set that thing up for some of the equipment he had to buy. We were looking at about $15,000, $17,000 to purchase chairs and carpet and sound system, all that kind of stuff. This guy wrote us a check for $20,000 and put it in the mail. Why? Because he understands that all the stuff, it's not about having more stuff. It's about how can I win souls. He told me about a church that he helped build up in North Alabama. People he didn't even really know, but they were trying to get a building. He wrote them a $100,000 check and said, go buy the building. I mean, this is an amazing person that understands what we can't always get. That it's not about the stuff. It's about what God wants to do in us. The third thing that I want you to see today. So number one, you need to know you're not of this world. Number two, you need to understand that you've got a purpose that's bigger than what the world says your purpose is. Number three, you need to understand that you have supernatural power. Yeah. Now in the story, Superman gets his supernatural power from our yellow sun. Yeah. Apparently Krypton didn't have a yellow sun. I don't know what color sun they had. Red sun. Thank you, Doobie. I knew someone would know. They got a red sun. He has no power. He's normal. He gets here, the yellow sun, the radiation, makes him powerful. He can fly, he can jump, he can break stuff, whatever he can do. I was watching that movie, and not to give away the whole thing, but he dies in the end. No, I'm just kidding. I was watching the movie. One of the funny things that I liked about it is there's one part, you see it in the trailer, he's got handcuffs on, and he's walking around in handcuffs, and the girl's like, why did you let him put handcuffs on you? He's like, it makes him feel good, you know. And then at one point, somebody says something to him, and he just goes like that, and the handcuffs just break. He didn't even mean to. That's how powerful he is. So it's pretty cool story. I'll try and give away more stuff later. But the thing is, you need to understand, Superman got his power from an external source. Can I tell you something? God wants to give you the same power. Now, it may not be jumping over tall buildings and stopping trains, but there is supernatural power that God wants inside of each and every man. Now, let me say this about men. In the church, we've had this problem in that church is all about women. Women are the ones that pray. Women are the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Women are the ones that show up. And traditionally, that's true. Statistically, it's true. Because women are the ones that are always here for whatever reason, and men end up being the ones that trail behind. But if a man can really be a man, statistics prove that if a man gives his heart to Jesus Christ, you've got an 83% chance of the entire family giving their heart to Christ. Whereas if a woman gives her heart to Christ, it's only like a 50% chance that everybody else will get saved. There's power in men, and we need to understand, men, that we need to take the church back. We need to be the ones leading the way. Not that women don't have their place, that women can do everything a man can do, get filled with the Holy Spirit, all that stuff. But it's about time for men to start leading the way. We need to step up and accept the power that God has for us, the Spirit that God has for us, and stop making it be all about the ladies. And we need to step up and do something.
That's good.
It's about time for us to be men.
Yeah.
Acts 1:8 says this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I will give you power. Men, we have access to this power, we don't use it. Yep. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you to bring life to your mortal bodies. There is a power inside of each and every one of us, and we need to access it. It's through the Holy Spirit, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. The Bible says to baptize us or come upon us, and we need to allow that power to infiltrate every part of our life. One of the things I think about, if I were Superman, I would not ration out my powers, right? I mean, if I'm Superman, there's no chance in the world that if someone's falling from a building, I'm going to be sitting here going, now how old are they? Do I really want to use my power to save that person? You know, did they file taxes last year? Do they have a criminal record? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not rationing it out. I'm not thinking it through. If someone's falling from the building, I use it. I go. I fly. I catch them. But what we do in church a lot of times is we have this power of the Holy Spirit, and we use it in church only. It was never meant to be used in church. It was meant to be used outside. It was meant to be used every single day. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the book of Exodus. And it's the story of a guy that gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes and does artwork and crafts and stuff for the church. He builds a temple or tabernacle. Okay, and I'm thinking, okay, whoa, God. Why would you put the Holy Spirit in this man just to work with some tools? And it was like God showed me, because my power is good for every part of your life. It's not just good for being in church. It's not even just good for preaching. The power of the Holy Spirit should be operating in every part of what we do. You're a mechanic, let the Holy Spirit, wisdom and power, to flow through you to fix cars better. You're a doctor, ask the Holy Spirit to flow through you and empower you to be able to speak life into people and be able to do surgeries on people and not leave instruments in them or whatever happens. Whatever it is that you do, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Sure, you can do it without the Holy Spirit, but you won't do it as well. You won't be as effective. You won't be as powerful. You're a carpenter, man. Ask the Holy Spirit. Jesse, that's probably part of our problem. And we probably messed up because we didn't ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in what we were doing. We're just nailing stuff around. I accidentally shot a nail in his wood floor. I don't think he told Wendy that. Obviously not. Whoops. It was less an accident and more stupid. I had the nail gun and I just went, let me show you how long this nail is. And there was a 2x4 on the ground. I went, pop. And I was like, oh man, that nail was longer than I thought it was. So we pulled the 2x4 up. The nail was still on the floor. It was bad. Don't worry. It won't trip you very often. Just put a rug over it. It'll be like that. We need the Holy Spirit every day in our life. We need the Holy Spirit with our families, guys. For men that do have families, you are a father or a husband, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in your family. How else are you going to pray for your wife when she wakes up in the middle of the night throwing up?
Amen.
Right? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit on you, in you, operating in every part of what we do. Superman didn't just have power at certain times. He uses power all the time. The fourth thing is this. We've got to serve other people. If I were Superman, again, you can tell my character. If I were Superman and I was a little bit short on cash, I would not be a reporter for a newspaper. I would fly around and I would break into banks and take all the money I wanted. I mean, if I were Superman. I mean, let's just be real. How many of you guys would do that? Yeah, me and Will. We're the only bad people in the world. Look, if I was Superman, I would use my powers for probably all the wrong reasons. I'd go collect all the gold I wanted. I would make myself king of the world, right? I mean, what are they going to do to me? Shoot me with a tank? I don't think so. I just tank's done, you know? So I would control everything. But that's a great thing about Superman, is Superman had this character, this integrity that nobody else in the world had. You saw in the clip there, it says, you will be the one to lead the way. And people will try and follow you, and they'll fall, and they'll mess up. But you keep leading, and they'll eventually fall in line. I think that's the same thing for us. We need to understand that we've got to have this impeccable character. And our character has to be about serving people. We've got to serve other people. We've got to consider other people better than we consider ourselves. One of our favorite examples is in John chapter 13. And the Bible says that Jesus shows up in John 13. He's got all his disciples there. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And Jesus shows up. And he instead of going in and saying, all right, everybody, y'all look at me. Look at me. Look at boss. He goes in while they're all sitting down getting ready to eat. And the Bible says he puts a towel around his waist. And he gets some water. And he goes around and he begins to wash the disciples' nasty feet. We went to the movies the other night to watch Man of Steel. We went at midnight showing Thursday night. We had to eat, drink some 5-hour energies, which caused us to be awake till about 4 in the morning. Big mistake. So we're sitting there, and Perry shows me this picture on her phone. I was like, what in the world is that? And I look, and this old girl behind Perry has taken her shoes off and has her bare, nasty feet propped up in between the chairs that Perry's sitting on.
Not okay.
And Jesus would have washed those things.
Nah.
It would have been awkward. I'm sure he would have put out some Purell and just, hey, lady, here we go. You know, let me fix that up for you real quick. You should have done that, babe. That would have been awesome. She would have never put her feet up again. Taught old girl a lesson. Here's the thing I love about Jesus. Jesus has all the power in the world, and yet he chooses to wash people's feet. He chooses to serve other people. The Bible says that he didn't come into the world to be served, but to serve. Jesus, the Jews wanted Jesus to come in and use his ability to raise the dead, right? Raise all the dead people you want. Let's create an army and go after the Romans. Use your ability to walk on water. Run out to their boats and sink them. You know, use your abilities. Use your superpowers, Jesus, and let's run the world. And Jesus says, I think I'm going to just serve the world. I think I'm going to serve the people that beat me up. I'm going to serve the people that spit in my face. I'm going to just love people. I'm going to consider other people better than myself, and I'm going to serve. Men, so often, that's a struggle for us. I'm going to tell you something. When I first got married, I didn't understand what it meant to be the man of the house. I thought I knew what it meant. There's still times I think I know what it means. I wanted to be the man of the house. I wanted every decision to be run by me and be made by me. I quickly learned that's a lot of pressure, and I did not want it all. But I wanted to be revered as this man that runs the house. And the problem is, I didn't get it that trying to dominate it made people not want to be around me. Now, my wife loved me, and she loved me through it. And she learned how to submit finally, and it's all worked out. But the Bible says even as a husband, I've got to learn to serve my wife. And when I realize that I've got to serve her and love her without expecting anything in return, if I can just serve my wife, then all of a sudden my leadership abilities went up. I used to, as a kid, man, I grew up in the 80s, and I saw all these preachers, right? These big-time preachers, and man, I would go to these meetings with my dad, and you see these preachers walking in, and they have an entourage, people walking in with them, carrying their suitcase, I mean, their Bibles and all their stuff with them, you know, and I was like, man, it would be cool to be that guy, you know? And then I grew up, I became my own preacher. Ain't nobody carrying a Bible for me. I had to pay Will to bring my table out. I mean, it's tough. No, I realized as a pastor, as a leader of a group of people, I had to learn that I've got to serve just like everybody else does. I'm no different than anybody else. And the more I serve, the better our team is.
Yeah.
And so in a family, as a man at your job, stop trying to dominate everything and start trying to serve people.
Come on.
Learn to love people. Learn to love that boss that ticks you off all the time and is always so negative. Learn to serve that man or that woman and get in there and love on them and treat them the way Christ would treat them. Christ would wash their feet. Don't do that. You'll get fired. I can see some of y'all hiding under your boss's desk. They show up and they're scrubbing their toes. You get kicked in the face. Let me give you the last thought here. The last thought is, you can't save the world alone. You can't save the world alone. Superman, with all of his great powers and abilities, still had Lois Lane. I'm not sure what good she is. She keeps falling out of buildings, but he had Lois Lane. He saw Jimmy Olsen, right? Eventually, he got the Justice League together. Why? Because Superman, even with all his powers, realized, I can't do this by myself. I've got to have help. As men, we want to do it by ourselves. We don't read the instruction manual until we're halfway through the project and realize that there are parts left over, right? We want to do it by ourselves. My son, Colt, is already becoming a man. He wants to do it by himself. He says, you know, we try and feed him something. No, I can do it. And he'll get a spoonful of something and just it's all over his face. That's how we are as men. We want to do it ourselves. But the Bible says we can't do it ourselves. We've got to have other people. There's power in the Holy Spirit, but there's also power in two or three. There's power in two or three people getting together. The Bible says where two or three gather together, that he shows up, Jesus shows up in their midst. Folks, we need each other. The Bible says that a three-cord strand is not easily broken. So many times we're dealing with issues, and especially men. Women, you're great at this. Women, they'll get themselves a little small group together over nothing. I mean, I just need to talk to somebody about something. And you come in with a problem, you'll be grabbing three or four ladies. I'll see y'all over in the corner just crying and talking and praying it out. Men, we'll come in with the bone sticking out of our leg. You're like, no, I'm good. I got it. No, I don't need any help. I got it. Me trying to pick up chairs, help somebody. But that's how men are. We think we got it. And listen, fellas, we don't. At the end of the day, we can't do it alone. We need to let down our guard. We need to let down our macho bravado. And we need to be able to be open and honest with somebody. We need to be able to talk to somebody. I like in any of the Superman movies, I like the point where Superman reveals, or Clark Kent reveals, that he's Superman to somebody. He didn't do it to everybody and anybody. He didn't just walk around going, hey, check me out, you know. But he chooses people specifically that he knows he can trust to be able to reveal his biggest secret. Gentlemen, we've got to find those people in our life. Now, we're starting a new small group semester today. It's a short one. I know a lot of you are traveling. You won't be a part of it. But in the fall, we open up our bigger small group semester. I want to encourage you men, find a group that you can be honest and open with. Find a group of men that you can get plugged into that will help you live this thing called life. Because I'm going to tell you something, you can't do it by yourself. I want to end today. We're going to pray. I want to end with this final thought. And it was a thought from that movie, from the commercial that I really liked, where the dad tells Superman, you're going to lead the way. Men, it is in us to be leaders. You want to be the man of the house. It's not about telling people what to do. It's about showing them how to live. Jesus said this. He says, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. And I don't say anything except what I hear my Father say. We need to be those kind of men, those kind of fathers, that our kids say, you know what I do in life? I do what I saw my Father doing. How do you know how to pray? Because I saw my Father praying. How do you know how to treat your wife? Because I know how my Father treated my mother. How do you know how to raise kids? Because my Father raised me right. I'm going to tell you something. That's a great responsibility. But we need to learn to be imitators of Jesus Christ. We need to learn to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. We need to learn to walk the way He walked and talk the way He talked. Some of us are struggling with that today because we've not allowed Jesus into our life. We've not said, God, I want to serve you. I want to lay down everything that this world thinks about me, and I want to live the way that you've taught me to live. We have no relationship with Jesus, and therefore we don't know how to act. You look at a kid that doesn't have a relationship with his dad, statistically, they're more likely to end up in prison. Why? Because they didn't have that father figure to show them how to live. we need to understand today we've got to have Christ in our life. Because people are always watching us. Kids are always watching us. We are leaders as men, and we need to act like it. You need to stop being a follower. You need to stop sitting back and letting this world tell you what to do. You need to stop sitting back and acting like everything's okay when you know it's not. And we need to start leading some people. You start by leading yourself. Lead yourself to Jesus Christ. Then you start leading your family, leading the people at your job. Again, it's not always about telling people what to do. It's about living it out and letting them follow you. Why don't you bow your heads with me today? Nobody looking around.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.